All right. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a little funny story real quickly, and then we'll jump right into it. You know, preachers, we like to stand at the back and shake hands with folks when they're walking out of the building. And not long ago, a young preacher was standing back there shaking hands with folks as they walked out, and an elderly couple walked by and shaking the preacher's hand. She said, "Preacher, we'd like to see you in your office. We need some marriage counseling." And the young preacher looked and thought, "My land, what am I going to tell these folks? They've been married longer than I've been alive, you know." So he took them in the office, began to counsel with them, and asked them some questions. She said, "You know, preacher, he just don't love me like he used to. And, you know, I don't know what's happened, but we've lost that spark. He don't open the door for me anymore. And he don't kiss me anymore. And he don't hold my hand, and we just need some help." And so the preacher began to share verses with them, pray with them, you know. And after about 30 minutes of counseling, the preacher got up from behind his desk, and he walked over to where the lady was sitting. He asked her to stand up. This elderly lady stood up, and that young preacher grabbed her in his arms, bent her over, and put the biggest smooch you ever seen right smack dab on the middle of her lips. Man, she about passed out, didn't know what to do. You know, the fella sitting over there, he don't know whether he's supposed to punch the preacher in the nose or what, you know. And, "Preacher, what's going on?" He said, "Now you listen to me, sir." He said, "She needs one of those 3 times a week. If she'll get one of those 3 times a week, everything will be all right. You won't have to see me for counseling anymore." So that old fella kind of scratched his head and thought about it a minute, looked at his wife, looked back at the preacher, and he said, "All right, preacher, I'll agree to that." He said, "You want me to bring her by on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday?" You know, he just didn't get the point. You ladies have to forgive us men. We're hard-headed like that sometimes, but well, enough of that foolishness. Look at Psalm 67. We got a lot to say and a little time to say it, so we're going to jump right into it. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah." It's a good prayer, isn't it? Amen. One that we pray often. Hold your place there, if you would. Put your little ribbon or marker and go all the way back to Numbers chapter 6. We'll come back to Psalm 67 here in a little bit. But Numbers chapter 6, there's one thing that every single one of us here today have in common. And that's the fact that we all want to be blessed by God. Amen. We desire the blessings of God upon our life. And I found that even the folks there in Thailand where we went, they want God's blessings on their life too. Millions of people around the world that desire the same thing that you and I desire. They want God to bless their family and bless their homes and their children and their finances. And they want joy and peace and health and all these different things. And, you know, many people will do crazy things trying to get a blessing from God. I remember when I first got saved, we got into church and we started watching some religious channels, you know, preaching on TV. And there was a guy, some of y'all remember this, there's a fellow in Oklahoma. His name was Oral Ripoff. Y'all remember him? And Oral Rock, whatever his name was. But he got rich off of selling prayer cloths to people that were trying to buy a blessing from God. Well, you know, you can't buy a blessing from God. That's not the way it works. But I've been to Mexico and Costa Rica, Central America, and some of those Catholic nations. And I've walked into some of those big Catholic churches down there, and I've watched them get on their hands and knees and crawl down an aisle 4 or 5 times longer than this one. And they'll get down there and light candles, and one of them, they were rubbing on this big rock and doing all these weird rituals trying to earn a blessing from God. In Thailand, they'll become monks at an early age, and they'll isolate themselves from society and do all kinds of weird stuff trying to earn a blessing from God. But we know this morning that true blessing comes from the one true God. Amen? Jehovah God, the God of Israel. All we have to do is simply ask Him. And it amazes me that there is a God in heaven, the Creator of all the universe, and He looks down and He longs to bless His children. Folks, God desires to bless you even more than you want a blessing from God. God wants to do something great for you in your life. This psalmist prayed this prayer on a regular basis. You'll find it first mentioned here in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. It's the same prayer that God gave Moses to give to Aaron to use as a benediction whenever they would assemble together there at the tabernacle. Look at verse 24. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So this psalmist prayed this prayer on a regular basis. Truth of the matter is, most of us in here today, we pray, maybe not word for word, but on a daily basis, we ask God for His blessing upon our life, and we ought to do that. But I'm afraid that most of us here, most Americans, if we're honest, the average American Christian, probably most of us in this room today, when we ask God for His blessing, we ask it with the wrong motive. And what I mean by that is this. Most of us, when we pray for God to bless us, we want God to bless us so we can enjoy those blessings. We want God to bless us so we can buy a bigger house. We want God to bless us so we can get a nicer truck. We want God to bless us so we can go on a better vacation or whatever it may be. And that's the extent of our desire for the blessings of God upon our life. But I submit to you this morning that God has a higher purpose and a greater motive for blessing you than for you and your family to enjoy the good life here in America. We're going to look at that this morning. I don't have an outline, just a couple of thoughts and a principle from the Word of God that you'll find all throughout the Bible. If you'll get a hold of it, it'll change your life this morning. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles 4. Real fast, I want to read that verse. 1 Chronicles 4 and verse number 10. We call this the prayer of Jabez. And what's interesting to me about this fellow Jabez, we don't really know anything about him. We don't know where he came from. We don't know who his folks were. We don't know of any great work that he ever accomplished for God. And all we really know about him is that he prayed a prayer for God to bless him, and God answered that prayer and chose to record it in the Bible. Look there at verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. What a great prayer and a great answer to prayer. We could preach on that for hours today, but I was in a bookstore here recently, and I came across a book entitled The Prayer of Jabez. I didn't buy it. I don't recommend it. I don't know anything about it. I didn't read it. But what caught my attention was this. On the front cover, it said it was a New York Times bestseller, and it sold over 9.5 million copies. And I scratched my head when I saw that, and I thought, Jabez, he didn't do anything for God that we know about. We can't really learn any character traits from him. Why are so many people buying this book? And it has to be for this reason. We all have the same cry that Jabez had. We all have that same desire and that same prayer. And I don't know about you, my friend, but I could probably answer this for you. I know it's true in my life. God sure has answered that prayer. Amen? God's been good to this old boy. I don't deserve a thing from God. If I got what I deserved, I'd be frying in a place called hell right this very minute. So would you. But I'm here to tell you, God not only saved me, anything over hell is a blessing. But friend, God's been so good to me, I can't even count the blessings that God's given me in my life. Well, we have been blessed. I've been blessed with a wonderful family. I've got a beautiful wife and three kids that want to serve the Lord. Y'all can see the picture out there. You'll see some of them here in a little bit. But man, I tell you, I thank God for my family. I came home about a year ago and I told my wife, "Honey, I think God wants us to get rid of everything and move 9,000 miles to a country that we don't know a soul in. We never met another missionary there, didn't know the language, didn't know anything about it, but that's what God wants us to do." And you know what she did? I thought she was going to cry, preacher, and moan and whine, and I was going to preach at her and tell her to get right with God, you know, and do it. And she said, "Hey, let's go." And I looked at her, what have you been drinking, woman? What's wrong with you?" She said, "Hey, if that's what God wants us to do, let's do it." And I thank God for that. My little girl came up to me, Katie, 13 years old, and we had our missions conference, and we had even talked to them about what God was doing in our hearts and lives. And she came up to me bawling one night. I said, "Baby, what's wrong?" She said, "Daddy, I think God wants us to be missionaries." Yeah. I don't know about you, that's a blessing to this daddy. Have kids that are sensitive to the Lord and want to serve God. What a blessing. I've been blessed financially. I don't live a lifestyle of rich and famous by any stretch, but boy, God's sure been good to me over the years. I was able to buy a home, our own house there in Cabot. It wasn't big, just a little small 1,400 square foot home, but we thought we were living high on the hog. Got our first home, you know. And I'd tell folks about people that, "Brother Daniel, everybody's got a house. That's not that big of a deal." Friend, I beg to differ with you. It is a big deal. Because everybody don't have a house. You understand, there's people probably right here in this city that's living under bridges tonight when it's cold outside. And I'm saying we take so much for granted living in this country. When you go home today to that heated house and you lay down on that fluffy pillow top mattress you got and take a nap, you ought to say a prayer and thank God for it, because everybody don't have what you have. Wasn't it nice to drive to church? I mean, y'all drove to church in an automobile this morning. Maybe you rode a bus. Wasn't that a blessing? Man, it'd have stunk if we'd had to walk to church in that cold this morning. But you know, I was in a country last year where they'd walk 2 hours to get to church, and they was there every time the door was open. You want to thank God for that vehicle, because everybody don't have what you have. Most of us will go out to a restaurant today, or we'll go home to a refrigerator that's full of food. And we'll sit down and eat. We'll throw away more food than most of the world will eat today. Amen. And I'm saying, you want to thank God. I was in a country here just a couple of years ago, and we handed out beans and rice to people. And man, they were flocking to get it. And I watched this lady. Literally, she got a bag of beans and some rice, and her bag broke, and her beans fell out on the dirt ground. And that lady bent over and picked up every last one of those beans and put it back in that bag and take them home to eat that week. I sat there with tears rolling down my face. "God, I'm so sorry. I'm so stinking ungrateful."
That's right. Yep.
People are going to bed hungry tonight, folks. We've got plenty. You ought to thank God for what He's done for you. Everybody don't have what you have. And the greatest blessing of all is this, folks. We don't have to go to hell when we die. Amen? We've got a home in heaven. We can go to bed tonight, lay our head on our pillow, and we can know that we know that we know that we're heaven bound. And listen, there's millions of people that go to bed tonight. They don't have that assurance. They don't have that hope. They don't know anything about it. You ought to thank God for that blessing because everybody don't have what you have. I was in my office here recently. I was sitting there just counting my blessings. And this thought, this question came to my mind. This is a message right here. Why on earth did God bless me? You ever wonder that? There's 7.3-something billion people in the world today, folks. Why did God choose to bless you? Why were you born in America? Why do you have so many divine advantages that so many other people in the world do not have? The only word I could come up with was grace. It's by the grace of God that we weren't born in some third world country, living in some shack with a dirt floor made out of scrap material. It's by the grace of God that you're not going to bed tonight wondering how you're going to feed your kids tomorrow. It's by the grace of God that you weren't born in a communist country where you couldn't even meet like this today with a Bible in your hand and a preacher to preach to you without fear of being killed or locked up in jail. It's by the grace of God that you weren't born in a country like Thailand. I want you to imagine being born into a family where your mother took you from the time you were a baby and they taught you to bow down to some dead statue that could do nothing for you. And you'd spend your whole life doing that, thinking it was going to earn you some nirvana one day, only to wake up in a Christless hell to burn forever. That could have been you. It could have been me on that video. Did God bless me just so I could live a comfortable, happy life? Did this psalmist here pray that God would bless him just so he wouldn't have to struggle to make a living and life would be smooth sailing and perhaps he could retire early and travel the world? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said all that stuff was vanity anyway. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to show you a principle here real quick. You'll find it all throughout the Word of God. You folks know this. Your preachers preach this to you. But look at Genesis 12 and verse number 1. I remind you as you turn there that Abraham was nothing but a pagan idol worshiper when God came to him. He had done nothing to deserve the grace of God either. But God in grace looked down and chose Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm fixed to do something great for you, bud. Look at verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will what? Bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now look up here. God came to Abraham one day. He's over bowing down to a statue. God said, Abraham, come here, man. I know you don't understand this, and you're old, and you don't get it, but I'm about to give you a son. And your son's going to have sons, and they're going to have sons. And Abraham, look at those stars in the sky. One day your seed will be as the stars of the heaven, Abraham. I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to give you wealth and prosperity and land. And Abraham, I'm going to bless you more than you could ever imagine. But why did God do that for him? Was it just so him and Sarah and Isaac could kick back and enjoy the good life together? Not on your life. Look at the end of verse 3. You'll find the answer. God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you all of these great things. I'm going to bless you more than you could ever imagine. But Abraham, it's not just for you and your family. It's that you might be a blessing to all the other peoples of the earth. And we know that took place when the Messiah was born from the seed of Abraham. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. You'll see this in another passage here. 1 Kings 8. Solomon is getting ready to dedicate the new temple. And he's going to bless the nation of Israel there. And he prays it. And we won't read it all, starting about verse 55, but you go down through there, and he basically says, Lord, help us to continue to obey your law so you can keep blessing us. And God, we need your blessing upon our life. Look down at verse 59. And let these my words, wherewith I made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, the cause of his people Israel, all times, as the matter shall require. What's the cause of his people? What's the cause of Christ, the cause of the people of God? Verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. All right, take your Bibles, go back to our text, Psalm 67. Psalm 67, this psalmist here, he prayed that God would bless him. Now, why did he do that? Well, he tells us, he gives us his heart and his motive behind that prayer in the rest of the chapter. Read verse 1 again, God be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among all nations. This fellow's praying one morning. He says, God, we need your blessing upon our life. I want you to bless my family, bless my health, bless my family, do all of this, God. But it's not just for me. It's not so I can have a better standard of living, God. It's that we might be a blessing to all the other people around us, that they can experience salvation and have the same blessings that we have. Look at verse 3. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. You ought to underline that word all. Not just white folks. Come on now. Not just Americans. You better be glad that God's not racist and prejudiced, friend, or we'd all be in a heap of trouble today. Amen. I'm glad He loved us Gentiles. Amen. Think of verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this right here. Every blessing that God's ever given you, and friend, that's a bunch of them. Every one of them is for the divine purpose of making known His goodness, His grace, and His mercy known to a lost and dying world. That they might experience salvation and enjoy the same blessings that you and I have. And one of these days we'll all be able to gather around God's throne and lift Him up and give Him the honor and glory that He deserves and He desires. Revelation talks about that day. People will come from every nation and every tribe and every language. And we'll gather around the throne and sing redemption song. Man, what a day that's going to be. I can't imagine what that choir is going to sound like. But folks, we got a problem. And the problem is this, there's millions of people around the world that are not praising God today. They're not lifting Him up. They don't have the blessing of God upon them because they don't know Him. And friend, that's not just my problem as a missionary, but it's your problem as a local New Testament church because God's commanded you to reach them. Jesus understood the heart of His Father very well. He explained it clearly to disciples. Your preacher's preached on this a million times. But six different times after the resurrection, before Christ ascended, He gave them what we call the great what? Commission, the great command, the great commission of the church. In other words, the number one focus and the number one priority of every true local New Testament church ought to be the great commission. Amen. That's what we're here for. I love teaching and preaching and singing and fellowshipping and activities and all the activities that we do at a church. But friend, the main focus of this church and every other true church is to fulfill the Great Commission, to get the gospel to every creature. He said it in Matthew like this, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In John, He said, even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. In Acts 1:8, the very last words that Christ spoke to His church before He ascended. You know, most of you can quote it. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen to me. That's the last thing He told us to do, folks. That's our marching order. Right before He left, He said, make sure you get busy doing this. And if I were to preach on the rapture today, man, we'd shout the roof off this place. Everybody loves to hear about the Lord coming back. But I'm afraid, preach, a lot of us like those folks back in the days of Amos. They long for the day of the Lord. And Amos said, you have no clue what you're asking for. Because not only is it a day of deliverance, the prophet saw it more clearly. He said it's a day of judgment. And friend, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're going to give an account of whether or not we did the job that He left us here to do. And I've got a sneaky suspicion that when Jesus comes back, He's not going to be too impressed by how big a house you got. Now hear me, nothing wrong with having a big house. Please don't misunderstand. But you understand He owns the mansions of glory? There's no amount of square footage you'll ever get that'll impress Him. Those hardwood floors and granite countertops and jacuzzi tubs and everything the Home Channel says we got to have to be happy and relevant today, all they are is materials that He made. It's not going to impress. You may impress family and friends, but not Him. He's not going to be impressed what kind of automobile you drove up in today. I don't care how big the price tag was. All it is plastic and metal and rubber. And He made all that stuff. It's not going to impress Him. He's not going to be impressed by how big a savings account you've accumulated. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. There's no amount you'll ever accumulate that will ever impress Him. Nothing wrong with saving. The Bible teaches to do that. I'm just saying what you have won't impress Him. And we could talk about that for hours. You remember that rich young ruler? God blessed him so much. He tore his barn down and built a bigger barn to store it in. That's smart, wasn't it? That's what the average American does today in America. That's the American dream. Amen. But you drive through any nice neighborhood in this town, they'll have 3-car garages and not a 1 car parked in them. Not one. Half you fellas can't park your truck in your garage at home. You know why? Because we've got it filled up with blessings. That's the truth. And we got an attic full of blessings. And we got blessings crammed in our closet. You ladies can't even open the door without something falling on your head. You know I'm on it. I'm telling the truth. And we got a shed out back full of blessings. And it's a multi-million-dollar business today of renting mini storage to people. So they can store more blessings in that they're never going to use. And all we're trying to do is accumulate a bunch of stuff, listen to me, to try to impress a bunch of people that most of the time we don't even like them anyway. But that's the American dream. Remember what God said to that young man? He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be?" Friend, God's not going to be impressed by how many of the blessings that He gave you that you are able to store up and accumulate for yourself. You want to know what's going to impress Him? Listen to me. How many people did you bless with those blessings? How many people got saved? How many people heard the gospel that never would have? How many people got a tract in their language or a Bible that never would have had one because of the blessings that God's given you in your life? I don't care what it is that God's blessed you with, you ought to use it to bless others. If God's given you money, use it to be a blessing to others, to help get people saved. If God's given you an ability or talent or whatever it is, you ought to use it to be a blessing to others, to get the gospel to them. I've got to hurry. Our time's running short. I want to give you a couple of quotes. John Falconer said this. He said, "I've but one candle of life to burn. I'd rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light." I read that and I thought about that as I was contemplating surrendering to the mission field. And folks, our country has been flooded with the light of the gospel. I travel around deputation. I see church after church on every street corner. In the South, they're in between every street corner. Churches everywhere. And I know we got to go soul winning. We got to plant more churches. I understand all that. But if somebody dies and goes to hell from this country, it really is their own fault. Because if they wanted to get saved, they could get up on Sunday morning, drive a few miles and go to a church, at least hear the gospel preached to them. But there's places over there where if they had a car, they'd have to get in it and drive 10 to 12 hours to even find a city where there's a gospel preaching church. What are we doing? David Livingston said this, it convicted me. I was sitting there contemplating, Lord was leading us to go to Thailand, and I'm kind of carnal and temporal. I know most of you aren't like that. You're super spiritual to always do what God tells you when He tells you to do it. And I was sitting there, preacher will understand this because he likes to hunt. But anybody here like to hunt? I love to hunt. I'm eat up with it. It's almost a God in my life, almost. And so I'm sitting there thinking about Thailand, and one of the first things I Googled about Thailand when God started leading me that direction was not how many souls were there and how many turtles, all that. I Googled, what is there to hunt in Thailand? I'm just being honest with you. You know what I found? Nothing. They overkill and underwater hunting. It's illegal to hunt there. There's nothing there left to hunt, not a huntable population. And so I told the Lord, I'm not going there. I was serious, aren't I? God, I'm not going there. That's the one thing I love to do outside of the ministry. My family is do that. I'm not going somewhere I can't do that. I said, let's look at it. And I started, most missionaries pray this. God, I'll go anywhere as long as you don't send me to Africa. I was praying, God, would you send me to Africa? They got all kind of animals over there. It's like a zoo. And God said, no, I want you to go here. Man, I started researching other countries. I wasn't going to Thailand. And I read this quote. David Livingston said this. He said, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? I read that and I began to weep. God, I'm sorry. Friend, listen to me. There's no amount of money you'll ever give. There's no sacrifice you'll ever give up. There's no sacrifice you'll ever make that'll ever come close to compared to the sacrifice that He made for you. Surely I can give up hunting for a little while to go tell folks about Him. Surely all of us could give an offering and give something to missions to send people to go to those countries. That's the least we can do. I'm done. I got 4 minutes. Romans chapter 10, you saw it on the video, greatest verse in all the Bible. I believe verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great verse. Whosoever meaneth me, amen. Whosoever meaneth folks in Thailand, Africa, all over the world, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But right after that, we've got a problem. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You know the answer to that? They can't. How shall they believe on Him in whom they've not heard? Folks, they hadn't heard about Him. I've asked them. They don't know who He is. And there's many other countries just like that. How shall they hear without a preacher? The answer is, they can't. We need more preachers, amen. I wish the young people were in here this morning. I'll get a chance to talk to them tonight. God, give us some preachers. God, give us some young men. By the way, not just kids, young couples. Amen. Retired couple, whoever it is. You ought to pray. Every one of us ought to be begging God, God, would you let me go? We're not making God twist our arm and force us. We're sitting around, I don't know if I'm called. Hey, God commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to get busy doing it. Amen. We need some young men that will give their lives to go preach the Word of God to people that's never heard. And how shall they preach except they be sent? The answer is we can't. You folks know this. I walked in your hall. What an awesome hall. I love walking into church and seeing missionary letters all down the hall. But you know how those folks are on those fields? Because somebody sent them. You know what it takes to send missionaries? I'm going to talk about it for a couple of minutes I got left, so you don't have to endure it long. Most folks have a prayer meeting when you mention this subject. Everybody puts their head down. But folks, it takes money to get the gospel around the world. It's just a fact. Your preacher's not a money grabber. I'm not either. But we understand it takes money to get the gospel out. You know where that money's going to come from? Hollywood's got plenty of it, but they don't care anything about what we're talking about. The NBA, the NFL can get every missionary to the field tomorrow. They don't care anything about this. But by the way, God didn't command them to do it either. He commanded local New Testament church. And that money's going to come from God's people sitting in churches just like this one. Listen, that they understand why God's been good to them and why God's blessed them. And they're willing to sacrifice some of those blessings, give them back to God so the gospel can go forth and folks can be saved all around the world. I don't know how you do your mission. I'm assuming y'all do Faith Promise or something like that. Okay. If I was a member of this church, I'd get involved in it. If you're not involved, I'd start giving a regular mission offering every week. And by the way, it's called the Great Commission because it ought to be the number one focus of our life. Not just the church, but every individual. It ought to be your focus every day when you wake up. And friend, if it's the Great Commission, if it's the main thing, the main focus, it'll be a big part of your budget. You know what most of us do? We get our paychecks, our salary, we go buy them blessings. We pay for that house, we buy them cars, we buy our clothes, we buy our golf clubs and our hunting rifles, brother, and our bow and arrows. And what do you ladies buy? High heels and purses and whatever y'all get. And at the end of the week or the month, if there's anything left over, we throw a little bit into missions. And we wonder why missionaries are traveling all around the country, taking 5 years to get to the field, and people are going to hell. Hey, look, what are we doing? Storing up all them blessings in those barns. Tearing them down and building bigger. Hey, folks, we got to get serious about this thing. Because the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. And I believe the Lord's coming back soon. And we better get real serious real quick about doing everything we can to get it to them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for the Word of God. I pray that you'd bless us. But God, not only bless us, but help us to understand this morning, God, why you've blessed us. And God, you've blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. Get the gospel to them. I pray that you'd help us to understand that every day of our life and live with that as the focus of our life to try to get people to you. Bless this church as they endeavor to fulfill the Great Commission in Christ's name. Amen.